Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Jewish community is very, very concerned in this country because this could be what they call an existential threat to Israel. You know, the Jewish community will tell you that Ahmadinejad, if he gets a bomb, could do in 6 minutes what it took Hitler 6 years to do. So it's understandable they would be very, very concerned. I think Americans more generally are not in a warlike mood. There has been no preparation for this, and therefore, for that reason, I actually think they may be a little more sympathetic to the Obama position on Iran than they, while on Iraq, they're more sympathetic to John McCain.
Blue Monday, Blue Monday.
It is the Savage Nation. To me, it's Blue Monday every day to this week. Now, what I... thanks, Fats. What I just played for you is a fellow named David Gergen, who was a Beltway bozo. He worked for Bush 1 and Clinton 1. In other words, he's ready to shift uniforms depending upon who pays him, which is typical of Washington. But Gergen went on CNN yesterday and said this, and I caught it, and I was astonished by what I heard, that he's repeating the big lie of World War II, that the Jews caused World War II, that the Jews dragged us into war against Hitler. Now, the only people who would believe this would be people like Pat Buchanan and fellow travelers. Certainly Hitler was on the war path. I don't want to revisit that right now, but I'd like to talk about Iran right now. David Gergen said the following. Play it again, and I'd like to hear your opinion on this, if you don't mind.
The Jewish community is very, very concerned in this country because this could be what they call an existential threat to Israel. You know, the Jewish community will tell you that Ahmadinejad, if he gets a bomb, could do in 6 minutes what it took Hitler 6 years to do. So it's understandable they would be very, very concerned. I think Americans more generally are not in a warlike mood. There has been no preparation for this, and therefore, for that reason, I actually think they may be a little more sympathetic to the Obama position on Iran than they, while on Iraq, they're more sympathetic to John McCain.
Well, I'm glad he said, I think Americans more generally, and added more generally, because I was wondering if he was going to distinguish between Jews and Americans, as that particular crowd seems to want to do. Do you care about whether or not Iran attacks Israel? If Iran does attack Israel, what should our response be? Should David Gergen be fired from CNN because of his overt anti-Semitism? Now, I want to tell you that I wrote an editorial today, which you can read on michaelsavage.com, that is a phrase that will instantly catch fire and be stolen immediately. It's probably been stolen already because it's been up on my website for about 20 minutes. My guess is it'll be stolen by columnists within a few hours. The phrase is so good it's going to be ripped off. It's called Making the World Safe for Theocracy. And that's going to be the main theme of today, making the world safe for theocracy. I guess I have to tell my audience what a theocracy is, because I'm assuming that the Rush Limbaugh crowd doesn't even know what the word theocracy means. I believe the Rush Limbaugh crowd knows what a Republican is and what a Democrat is, and that would cover about 80% of the Rush listenership. Now, when we get into big words like theocracy, I'm not sure that the leadership knows what the word means. I mean, if you stop Nancy Pelosi over a hot stove while she's making a ravioli dish and you said, what's a theocracy? I don't know that she would know it. If you asked Barbara Boxer what a theocracy was, she'd ask you if they permit abortions and if there's any way to make a buck off a theocracy. If you asked Dianne Feinstein what a theocracy was, she'd say, do they have shopping carts in this theocracy land that you're mentioning? Theocracy is a nation that is ruled by a religious party. It's antithetical to the American republic. We are not a theocracy. We are a putative democracy, but we're not a theocracy. A theocracy is a religious state. And so I will now begin by reading my brilliant editorial, Making the World Safe for Theocracy, which, of course, is a takeoff on Making the World Safe for Democracy. And if anyone out there knows who first said that we should make the world safe for democracy, call me at 1-800-449-8255 and you win a special prize right here on the Savage Nation. Making the World Safe for Theocracy, says Michael Savage, it begins like this. If you'd like to read along, go to michaelsavage.com and follow the bouncing tongue. Theocratic Iran continues to challenge Western democracies, I write. Missiles designed to do in 6 minutes what Hitler did in 6 years to 6 million Jews were test-fired by this radical Islamic theocracy. The Hitler of Iran has threatened to kill every Jewish person in Israel, even if it costs Iran 50% of its population. Iran has imprisoned British sailors, sent a fleet of rubber boats against gigantic U.S. warships. But where is a strong statement from our president? Where is the bold warning against an enemy who has threatened us and our allies again and again? Nowhere. Silence and weak words are all that have come out of the White House in the West. Now, this is not the first time a nation led by a despot built up its military in defiance of the international community. In the 1930s, I will remind you, Adolf Hitler cast aside the restrictions on the size of his military imposed on Germany after World War I and created the Wehrmacht and the Luftwaffe. Now the Hitler of Iran is launching missiles, flaunting his nation's nuclear technology, and threatening to shut down the Strait of Hormuz. Israel may act against Iran, but with the corrupt weakling Olmert in power, even this most basic act of self-preservation is in doubt. Bush, the Chamberlain of our time, refuses to act. All he does is rattle the sabers of the Fifth Fleet. And why won't Bush act to save Western democracies from this madman? One, he doesn't want to rock the boat because of his ties to the Seven Sister Oil Companies. And two, because he's writing his legacy. Bush wants liberal journalists and historians to write books about what a great statesman and peacemaker he really was. And so, to fuel his own vanity, he lets the cancer of Iran metastasize and spread throughout the world. If Bush were to unleash the military might of the United States on this petty dictator and seize control of the Iranian oil fields, we could regain control of the Middle East, boost John McCain's poll numbers, greatly reduce oil prices, and save Israel from a second Holocaust. Instead, Bush has decided to make the world safe for theocracy. And that's something everyone but the far-left Democrats understand we have to fight. I'm Michael Savage, and I approve of my monologue. Now, I am back from my mini vacation today for the first time. I believe this is the most important topic on the table. I believe that anyone who's politically acute understands that Iran is definitely an existential threat to Israel. Now, you can argue I don't care about Israel, and I can accept that. However, I want you to think through this very carefully. I want you to think this through very carefully. If you know what the canary was used in the coal mine, which is an analogy I first used on radio 10 years ago, which was since been copied by numerous lesser light bulbs in the media, Israel is the canary in the coal mine. As goes Israel, so goes Western democracies in general. If we let the Hitler of Iran attack Israel, and he should succeed in overrunning Israel, which is unlikely, but it could happen. If that were to happen, do you think he would stop at the Mediterranean? No, he would not stop at the Mediterranean. He's gotten away with every one of his defiant acts to date. This would be his biggest victory. He would then take over, I would suspect, Saudi Arabia. He'd overrun Iraq. He would create a greater Persia in his own mind. He would then go for Europe, Southern Europe. They would probably capitulate without firing a shot, given that they live in their own world of the Maginot lines of their mind. Europe would fall next. Eventually, we, just as in World War II, would be facing off against this theocracy ruled by the madman of Iran. So when you say, I don't care about Israel, understand there are ramifications to where this goes. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. If you'd like to comment on either my editorial, Making the World Safe for Theocracy, or Gergen's comments, which I'll replay when I come back, you can call the Savage Nation. I shall return momentarily.
Savage.
The Jewish community is very, very concerned in this country because this could be an what they call an existential threat to Israel. You know, the Jewish community will tell you that Ahmadinejad, if he gets a bomb, could do in 6 minutes what it took Hitler 6 years to do. So it's understandable they would be very, very concerned. I think Americans more generally are not in a warlike mood. There has been no preparation for this, and therefore, for that reason, I actually think they may be a little more sympathetic to the Obama position on Iran than they, while on Iraq, they're more sympathetic to John McCain.
All right, so this is a guy who worked for Bush 1 and Clinton 1, Gergen. In other words, he'll change uniforms depending upon who pays him. That's not unusual, as I said. But I think that this calumny against the Jews is a little worrisome, very similar to what was said before World War II, that the Jews were dragging us into war with Hitler, that Hitler didn't want war with the West, that Hitler was our friend. The kind of stuff you hear from Buchanan today was pretty much going around in the American media in the late 1930s. And kind of after World War II, some still said it was the Jewish war, which, of course, if you study history, you'll find out that had very little to do with the Jews. In fact, if it was a Jewish war, Franklin Delano Roosevelt would have bombed the railway lines to Auschwitz years earlier. And I don't think that the attack on Pearl Harbor had anything to do with Jews. Of course, this is a convenient scapegoat, always has been. And here we have Gergen now using Jews in a subtle way now, not an overt way, because if it was more overt, he would lose his position as a Quisling on CNN, and he would have to go and appear only on right-wing television somewhere in the reaches of Austria. But because he says things in such a guarded way, he can get away with saying that the Jews are trying to drag us into war with Iran. But I wrote an editorial saying, making the world safe for theocracy. This madman of Iran is the Hitler of our time. And if you study what Hitler did, first it was Czechoslovakia, then it was Poland, then it was France, and on and on and on. It's the way bullies and madmen work. There's no end to this man. He must be stopped. He should have been stopped. That's why we spend trillions of dollars a year on a military that is now fundamentally a pitiful, helpless giant. What in the world is the point of all of these high-tech, high-flying weapons if we don't use them? If we see Hitler back on the planet, what do we have to wait for? To see a nation in flames and a counter-strike against Iran, where 50% of the Iranian people go up in smoke? I see this as clear as a bell. It's only him and a few madmen who appear on a regular basis who are saying this. And so I created the phrase, making the world safe for theocracy. It's a takeoff on making the world safe for democracy. And I've asked the audience to tell me who first made that statement, and then we'll go on. Brian in New York, you do win. Who first used the phrase, making the world safe for democracy?
Woodrow Wilson, Michael.
And approximately what era?
This is 1917.
And what was his implication? Is that we went to war in order to make the world safe for democracy, right?
Yep, unrestricted German submarine warfare.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Unrestricted German submarine warfare.
I don't understand what that has to do with making the world safe for democracy. What is the connection?
Well, we went to war because the Germans were not allowing us to have freedom of the seas.
Not allowing us or now allowing us?
Not allowing us.
Right. They sank the Lusitania, number one. I mean, I believe that was one of the incidents you're talking about. But anyway, Wilson's argument was we went into World War I to make the world safe for democracy, and you do win the prize today. And for your brilliant knowledge of historical fact, we will send you a prize. Probably I have a nice copy of my Freedom of Speech DVD. So stay on the line, Brian. Please forward it to our fulfillment house, Beowulf. Now I'd like to take your calls on, do you care whether or not Iran attacks Israel? And what you think Israel or the United States should do now is the question. Again, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Chicago, Jeff, you're up. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I just wanted to say that I think Gergen has a point in the sense that Iran isn't really a threat to the U.S. In the same sense that Hitler was a threat to the U.S. I mean, they're a weak country in many respects. There are economic...
No, I understand they're weak now, but one nuclear bomb can ruin your whole day.
Well, it could certainly ruin Israel's whole day. And while I...
All right, wait, let's take it a step at a time. Do you think that if Iran were to invade Iran and overrun it with 3 million troops, which, by the way, could happen, just look at the world map. What if Iran actually over, if you want to read the Bible and read about apocalypse, it's actually preordained in the Bible that Israel will be invaded and there will be rivers of blood. I don't want to go there right now. I'm not into theocracy or theology, excuse me. My point is a little different. This madman in Iran has said that there must be a world apocalypse in order for the 14th, whatever it is, Mehdi, whatever he calls it, to come back in his psychotic universe. There must be a worldwide bloodbath for there to be peace on earth. And he wants to bring about this apocalypse. So in that regard, Israel's only the first step, don't you think?
Well, I mean, the leader may be crazy. The mullahs may be crazy, but I don't know if the Iranian generals are crazy. I don't know if the rock runs deep enough.
Well, if the Iranian generals weren't crazy, Ahmadinejad would already be molesting the 72 virgins. I have a question about that. Is there an unlimited supply of 72 virgins per male? Or if it's the same 72 virgins, they're no longer virgins. They're soiled, aren't they? They're like used property. So that means there's an unlimited supply of virgins in heaven for these psychotics. Where do they get them from?
We're certainly in agreement that they're crazy people. The only thing I wanted to make is I think we do have to be cautious in how we deal with them. And
of course, how much more cautious can we be? This is going on for years already. Don't you remember the embassy crisis that Ahmadinejad was involved with during Jimmy Carter's era when he was one of the so-called radical students who seized U.S. hostages? This guy's been at it for 30 years.
You have a good point.
How would you deal with a madman who's intent upon bringing about a worldwide conflagration? The man has said there must be a conflagration for his vision of the world to emerge. There must be the arrival of the 14 Mehdi, whatever that is. And that can't happen until there's an apocalypse, and he wants to bring it about. How do you stop a man like that who's crazy?
Well, you could threaten him, first of all, that, you know.
Oh, thank you. Well, why is Bush being so nice to him? I mean, walk softly and carry a big stick is one thing, but walk softly and carry no stick is another.
We want to tell the world that those who conduct their foreign policy by using the language of threats against Iran have to know that our finger is always on the trigger, and we have hundreds, even thousands of missiles ready to be fired against predetermined targets. We will chase the enemies on the ground and in the sky, and we are able to react strongly to enemy threats in the shortest possible time.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I say, this is fodder for the far-left Democrats, who would rather swish than fight any theocracy, even though they oppose theocracies. They say the left, after all, has broken off the cross from every war memorial in America. The left vermin in America have taken down the Ten Commandments in any courtroom in the country. But somehow they seem to be rather sympathetic to the Islamic theocracy of Iran, even though they're very sensitive to the needs of gay people in America. And totally insensitive to the fact that in the Iranian theocracy, gays are executed. Now, how do you explain the schizophrenia of the American left? Believe me, I don't have the time for it. We can argue about this after we have the time, once we have the time to argue about it. We don't have the time anymore. But look, let me put it to you this way. The problem is not us. The problem is the leadership, and that is the leadership in the entire West is a compromised leadership. It's an MBA kind of leadership. It's a corporate mentality. It doesn't mean that every man in a corporation is an evil weakling, not by any means. But a corporation functions in a phenomenal manner. And I know something about what I'm talking about. For many years, I was a corporate consultant for very large companies. And I understand business to a certain extent. I'm involved in business, which I'd rather not talk about, where I understand how things work. But in large corporations, the rule is no controversy whatsoever. Now, as you well know, you cannot live in a world without controversy. Living itself is controversial. Getting up in the morning is a controversial act. Deciding not to commit suicide is a controversial decision. Deciding to kill yourself is a controversial decision. I'm being rather extreme here. Life itself is controversial. And for corporations to desire a zero-tolerance policy on controversy leads us to the kind of garbage ads that you see, the kind of ads that don't sell anything because people don't listen to them. It leads to the kind of tepid newspapers we have, which are collapsing underneath the boards because nobody wants to read that kind of newspaper. It leads to the kind of media that we have in this country, which is afraid of controversy. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So the politics of our government and the governments of the West in general are the same mentality. No controversy. Say nothing to antagonize anybody. You cannot run a country. You can't run a life that way, and you can't run a country that way. You can't raise children that way. Let's make it very basic. You have to have an opinion with a child. You have to be opinionated with a child. Don't put more salt on your food. It's bad for you. Stop eating those hot dogs. It'll make you sick. Okay, stop drinking the Kool-Aid. It's bad for you. That's judgmentalism, isn't it? But the 60s have brainwashed millions of Americans, tens of millions of Americans, into thinking that you should not be judgmental. That's the moniker. That's the, the phrase that so many liberals grew up on. Don't be judgmental. Well, for one, they're very judgmental of anyone who's religious and anyone who's opposed to their liberal theology. But make no mistake about it, liberalism is a theology unto itself. I don't think you understand that atheism is a very dangerous theology. I don't think you quite get it. The ones who scream the loudest about the separation of church and state, for example, are imposing their own theology upon a nation. It's the theology of no theology. It's the theology of atheism or Marxism in its extremities. So without getting too esoteric and too intellectual and too far from the point, what I am saying to you is the leadership of America, the leadership of Europe, the leadership of Israel even, is being run by an MBA business model. And it's not working because the enemy doesn't run that way. The enemy doesn't work that way. The enemies are fanatics. The enemies are absolute fanatics, and given the power to do so, they will kill all of us. They've said so, and I believe them. It's one thing I got to tell you is I actually take them on their word. When they say that when they get the power to do so, they'll take out Israel and then the great Satan, you see, they call Israel a little Satan, and they call America the great Satan. So they figure if they can take out little Satan, they can take out big Satan. And so if you think that there's no connection between what they want to do to this democracy in Israel and what they want to do to the democracies of Europe and America, then you don't know anything about history. Now, before I take your calls again, I want to repeat a very important saying that was said by the Spanish philosopher Santayana. Those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. Now, I'm warning you that we are repeating our history of the 1930s. It's all over again, identical. It's an it's a repeat of history that's so clear, it's amazing to me. And as I said to you in my editorial, Making the World Safe for Theocracy, which you can read on michaelsavage.com, this is not the first time a nation led by a despot built up its military in defiance of the international community. Ahmadinejad is doing exactly what Hitler did. Hitler said, I am not building up a military while he was building his navy. I am not building up a military while he was building Messerschmitts in secret plants. I am not building up the military while he was building gigantic cannons. I am not building up a military. We are only marching for self-defense. It's all over again. Now Iran is launching missiles. Now Iran is flaunting the nation's nuclear technology. Now Iran is threatening to shut down the Strait of Hormuz and the oil pipeline. And of course, their good friends in OPEC have warned of an unlimited rise in oil prices if Iran is attacked, because they're all the same. Make no mistake about it. Those madmen in Iran and those men in business suits in OPEC are all buddies. They're all cousins. They're all the same. They're all your enemy. They hate you. They hate the West. And they're salivating to take over this country and take over the West. And they smell victory, Buster. They think that they're an inch away from seizing not only Harrods department store, but the entire nation of England. They smell victory. They see weakness. They see depravity. And they feel that the West is about to fall. They feel like Samson shaking the pillars of that Colosseum in Beersheba. When he shook the pillars, though he was blinded, he felt that he could bring down the Colosseum around the Romans. Make no mistake about it, our dear friends of the Middle East see themselves as little Samsons about to shake the pillars of the West and bring it all crumbling down. The fact of the matter is, unless they're stopped soon, they will bring it all down, girl. And once the dust settles, I don't have to tell you what's going to go on in this country. And so therefore it comes back to the same conclusion that I drew earlier. You know what that is? You know what that is? That is, you have to kill them before they kill us. That is, you have to pulverize them before they pulverize one or more of our cities. That means we have to use the trillions of dollars of technological advances that we have made in weaponology before they use their weapons against us. That means the next time Hitler gives a speech with his mullahs next to him on a flower-bedraped podium, my friends, we have the technology to send them to those 72 virgins. And now I will take your calls on this very important topic. I don't think there's a more important topic. Oh, yeah, well, the libs would like you to believe it's about health care and the environment and the polar bears. I believe that's all nonsense and rubbish. I don't think it's going to attract many voters at all. And, of course, we know the economy is a big issue in this coming election, and the economy is directly tied to our dear friends with hate eyes wearing suits from a Savile Row. The hateful eyes that are cloaked by the suits of Savile Row tell us everything we need to know. And all you got to do go is look at one of those wonderful faces of hate on michaelsavage.com with the bug eyes that you can't believe. I don't know where they get them from. I don't know how they wind up like this, but the head of OPEC has a pair of eyes on him that make Don Corleone look like a school teacher. Chicago, Illinois. Jason, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, I've spoken to you several times before. I'm a Jewish television writer, conservative television writer in L.A. I'm calling from Chicago right now.
Right.
And I have to say something about your editorial. You have a line in there that is so profound, it's almost on the level of JFK, do not what your country can do for you. This should be on every Jewish person's car as a bumper sticker. And it's the line that you said about what Hitler did in 6 years to the Jews, Iran can do in 6 minutes.
What missiles designed to do in 6 minutes, what Hitler did in 6 years to 6 million Jews, were just test fire by this radical Islamic theocracy. And how the American left, and I must tell you, and I have to sadly say this to you, many of whom are Jewish, do not understand the threat to their own existence, is an exemplification of my incredible best-selling, brilliant title, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. There's no other explanation for it, Jason.
Oh, right. It's the most on-the-nose statement, Michael. I'm telling you, it should be on every American's bumper sticker. It's unbelievable.
Good luck, Jason. Good luck. Good luck. I'm sure somebody will steal it and make a T-shirt or a bumper sticker out of it. The fact of the matter is it's a very important topic that should be discussed worldwide. Thank you for the call, my friend. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. What do you think? Yes, no, maybe. Do you believe David Gergen, the Quisling, is right or wrong? Whoever David Gergen is. I mean, he was gurgling many years ago. He was already gurgling for air once he was out of the Beltway and basically just appearing like the character that he already is. When Fox one day, CNN the next day. What does it mean? What does an analyst mean for these television stations? They pay them about $40,000 a year to put on makeup and come on and give their opinion basically as filler for the talk show hosts. What do they really know? They all repeat each other. They meet at airports. They meet in green rooms. They don't come up with anything original. It's all the same. I'm original. I'm the most original voice in the American media. And you know what? I'm going to say that to you on a regular basis because nobody else will. And if I am not for myself, who will be? If I'm only for myself, I will be Rush Limbaugh. So I changed the statement a little bit when I say, if I'm not for myself, who will be? If I'm only for myself, then I will be Rush Limbaugh. But I am not only for myself. The phrase really is, if I'm not for myself, who will be? If I am only for myself, who am I? Which is a great saying, meaning you got to look out for number one, but not solely number one. You got to also think about the greater community. But first, you come first. So I want you to envision a world with radical Muslims running your town. I want you to envision a world with radical Islam ruling the West. I want you to envision a world without synagogues and without churches. I want you to envision a world run by the madman from Iran and his hateful, diabolical imams. That's what I want you to envision. And then I want you to answer the question. And that's simple. It's as simple as that. Michael in Portland. Well, I can't get to the call right now. I'll be right back. Be here. Savage.
Considered the epitome of Art Deco architecture. The Chrysler Building, once the world's tallest building, is a mainstay of the famous Manhattan skyline. Americans have a special place in their hearts for this structure.
I think certainly this is an icon not only for New York but for the country. Everybody knows the Chrysler Building. It's similar to the Empire State Building. You've seen it in commercials. You've seen it in television shows. Anything that's ever been done.
Well, the Chrysler Building was sold to Abu Dhabi, our good friends. You know, they're peace-loving folks over there. They don't have any hateful cousins lurking in the background, searching the computers, figuring out. Why do they have to fire a shot if we have so many prostitutes in the corporate world willing to sell off every iconic symbol of America, including defense industries? And why do they have to fire a shot if they can buy a congressman for less money than they pay for a prostitute in Geneva? And why do they have to fire a shot if they can buy two congressmen for less than they pay for a prostitute's overnight stay in a hotel in Geneva? Do you understand how it works? Because I've just explained to you how it works. So these are pretty dismal times. I got to tell you, you know, if you really stare at this, you know, I'm the oncologist of the American liberal cancer. And every day I get up and put on my magnifying glasses and I look at it and I see the cancer metastasizing. Today it's the sale of the Chrysler Building to the people in Abu Dhabi. It was the Dubai Ports deal. And you saw what happened. You saw that even Robert Dole, Bob Dole, a World War II hero, was working for the Dubai, the nation of Dubai, to peddle the Dubai Ports deal. Even he, they prostituted. Madeleine Albright, to me, was not a shock. That woman looks like the type that would have sold herself a long time ago for anybody who would have had her. So I wasn't shocked by her. But Bob Dole to wind up working for Dubai, I couldn't believe this. Viagra, I figured, was a joke. So where does this end? How does it stop? Who stops this? In all of these debates between Obama and McCain, has anyone brought up who would stop the bleeding of American iconic structures to foreign buyers? Has anyone brought up, would you limit the sale of American properties? Would you limit the sale of defense-sensitive industries? What would you do to preserve America's sovereignty? Nobody asks them that. Instead, it's about trivia, what Jesse Jackson whispered. Big deal, Jesse Jackson. He's mad because a guy came along who stole his thunder. Okay? What do you think he's mad about? No one's paying attention to him anymore. His racket's over. That's why he's suddenly upset. What do you think that was all about? It's like, move over, Jesse. You know what I mean? Your time is up. That was that big deal, big story there. No, the story is what I'm talking about. The sabers are being rattled. And the question is, who's going to strike first and where? And what happens then? I mean, this is really what it comes down to. I walk around like you do, July 4th, the barbecue. And I feel as though I'm living in suspended animation, like in two universes. And I wonder to myself, am I the only one? I mean, I know many of you think the same way, but I'm talking about people I meet in the streets that I look at. I see bland, empty souls walking around, almost like the invasion of the body snatchers. The gooey smiles, everyone lovey-dovey, and let's all get along. I mean, it's all very nice. I don't need hatred in the streets. But I see a nation of almost protoplasmic insanity walking around in skirts and pants. And I don't know whether these people really know the danger we're in. I don't think they truly understand what could happen virtually overnight to this country. And I wonder if it did happen, if they're capable of responding appropriately, or will they all go to pieces and need treatment and therapy and balloons and flowers and little animal statues outside their house? Will they run to therapy? Will they turn on Fox News and CNN to see what the smart people in skirts and pants who've been covering murders and rapes tell them what to do? I don't know if this nation is a nation anymore. I think it's It's so far gone. I don't know if I think maybe the theocrats are correct. There may be 30 million Americans willing to fight to the death, and we're all armed to the teeth. And it would not be easy. I mean, if you think the slogging in Iraq is bad because of the enemy, I think they'd have a much tougher time here. You want to get into the logistics of this. I don't know who would supply the home guard with weaponry. I am so disenamored of my leadership that I think they would capitulate to the Iranians faster than they would supply the Americans with weapons to defend this nation. That's how far gone we are. And I'm telling you this from the bottom of my heart. I've never seen a nation so debased as this country is today. And you say, well, one poll after another says the American people are frightened and this and that. And John McCain, the schmuck, gets up and makes another one. Again, shoots himself in the foot. I don't know how many feet he has left. Says it's a nation of whiners, that the economy's really fine. What kind of stupidity is that? Every other day, just as McCain goes up, he has an underminer saying something to undermine him. He says this is a mental recession. McCain's top economic advisor, the schmuck Phil Graham, another loser from Nowhereville, said you've heard of mental depression. This is a mental recession. Tell that to the woman on a pension filling her tank, and it's costing her $100 to fill a tank of gas. Tell that to her, Phil Graham, you fraud, you. You get government health care, you lot. Whoa, these people. What a government. What a government. What a government. The government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Sure, that's 100% true. If you happen to be a people who can pay them off with a bag of cash in a toilet somewhere on an interstate, it's a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Never before in American history have we had a government as corrupt as we have today on both sides of the aisle. And I don't know if anyone but God himself can save this great nation. I don't know if God himself can save this nation. That's why I say, are we making the world safe for theocracy? Think about it. I'm Michael Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
We want to tell the world that those who conduct their foreign policy by using the language of threats against Iran have to know that our finger is always on the trigger, and we have hundreds, even thousands of missiles ready to be fired against predetermined targets. We will chase the enemies on the ground and in the sky, and we are able to react strongly to enemy threats in the shortest possible time.
The Jewish community is very, very concerned in this country because this could be what they call an existential threat to Israel. You know, the Jewish community will tell you that Ahmadinejad, if he gets a bomb, could do in 6 minutes what it took Hitler 6 years to do. So it's understandable they would be very, very concerned. I think Americans more generally are not in a warlike mood. There has been no preparation for this, and therefore, for that reason, I actually think they may be a little more sympathetic to the Obama position on Iran than they, while on Iraq, they're more sympathetic to John McCain.
Well, there we go again. There's Gergen saying it's the Jews trying to drag us into World War III, fundamentally. He's doing it in a polite, inside the beltway kind of way. And that is why I wrote today's editorial on the Savage Nation, Making the World Safe for Theocracy. It's because of soft-speaking backstabbers like him that we're unwilling to do what needs to be done. Nobody wants war. I'm not a man who likes war, wants war. I have shunned violence all my life. But I have a question for you. Had Hitler been stopped in 1936, 37, 38, how many people's lives would have been saved? And I'll ask you again. Had Ahmadinejad been stopped in 2008, how many millions of people would be spared? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You realize this is no longer an esoteric existential question designed for a university audience? You're living in a reality that's going to shock and rock your world very soon. It doesn't matter whether you want it to happen. It doesn't matter how nice you are to the whales. It doesn't matter how nice you are to your cat and dog. It doesn't matter how nice a person you think you are. It doesn't matter how many turkey and ham sandwiches you've given to the homeless. It doesn't matter how many times you've gone to an Obama rally. I am telling you, like Lynkeus, the pilot seer of the Argonauts, I am on the highest mast of the good ship America. I see farther than anyone in the American media, and we are going to see a war with Iran. The only question is who will do it. And then the question is, what do they do in response? And so if you don't think it's going to happen, I disagree with you. And if you do think it's going to happen, what are you doing to prepare for it? And we can talk about that scenario, by the way. They claim that they'll sink ships in the Strait of Hormuz and tie up the world's transit of oil. Well, they may get away with sinking some ships. I guess with the admirals we have running the Fifth Fleet, it's possible for them to sink ships because they'd have to consult a book maybe 500 pages long before they could fire a 50 caliber round. And then they'd have to go to their MBA manual, the admirals, and call somebody in Tallahassee who may be on the golf links with a future defense contractor to see what they can do on the ships. We no longer have Admiral Halsey on the ships. We no longer have Admiral Ballsy on the ships. We have Admiral Milktoast running the Navy. So I don't doubt that Ahmadinejad could sink ships in the Straits of Hormuz and tie up the oil supplies. No matter how much American firepower is there, it's only as good as the man willing to fire the rocket or launch the jets. And I don't think we have anyone willing to do that anymore. I think they have to go to too many MBAs sitting there with uniforms in Pensacola or Tallahassee, wherever they have the hidden compound, to get the go-ahead to fire so much as a shot. And that's very, very pathetic. It's also very dangerous. But there are many things that could be done to preserve the oil supply. Even if he did tie up the oil shipments out of Iran, he'd only starve his own people who would overthrow the rest of the mullahs. In other words, it would have a counter effect on the mullahs in Iran. The people would rise up and kill them. Do you think the Iranian people want to live in the 15th century? You think the women want to go backwards? They hate this guy and the throwback stinking mullahs there. They hate them. They hate all of them. They were a modern, advanced people, the Iranian people. They had shaken off the theocracy, and then Jimmy Carter made the world safe for theocracy by overthrowing the Shah of Iran. Jimmy Carter was the man who first did this. He's the man who should be in The Hague for having unleashed the virus of radical Islam around the world. I know the entire story. It was Jimmy Carter with his do-gooderness who said that the Shah was a bad man and evil. Well, he may have been bad and evil, but he was dealing with worse and more evil people. That's how he kept them under control, the radical Islamists. And once Jimmy Carter undermined the Shah of Iran and drove him in exile, who came back? The chief virus, Ayatollah Khomeini, the chief virus, the number one cockroach of radical Islam, came back and spread his fecal matter across the entire nation of Iran and spread radical Islam around the globe. It was Jimmy Carter, my friends. And why am I telling you this? Because Obama is a student of Jimmy Carter. The entire left wing in the Democrat Party believes in Jimmy Carter's philosophy. And so this appeasement will only make it worse for us. Now, if you want to get on all fours and bray to Mecca, be my guest. But I'm not joining you. I'm not getting on all fours and braying to Mecca. Not today and not tomorrow. And there's probably 30 million Americans who don't want to get on their knees and bray to Mecca. No matter how many of you liberals want to capitulate, we'll be the ones to cut your hair off after it's all over, not to have our hair cut off, if you know what I'm talking about. You know, watch the black and white movies of World War II and how the collaborators were treated after the fall of Nazism in France. Because that's you being shamed. It's not us. You are the collaborators with radical Islam, not us. Your wires are crossed from too many years of pot. Your wires are crossed from too many years of reading the wrong books and focusing on the wrong things. That's why a man like Gergen gets up and says, basically, in more words than one, that it's the Jews who want to drag us into war with Iran, and gets away with it. No one says a word. Even Wolf Blitzer. Wolf Blitzer, who is Jewish and of Israeli descent, says nothing, because Wolf Blitzer has the guts of a department store dummy, which is why he does so well on CNN. They like department store dummies on television. The bigger a department store dummy you are, or shall we say a crash dummy who can make a tie, goes very, very well with the corporate television networks today. So the crash dummy was of Jewish descent, and he says nothing about David Gergen's slam against the Jews, saying, "You Jews want to drag us into World War III," basically. He said it in nice words. They've gotten very smart now, the Buchanan, you know, brigades. Now it's Hitler wasn't really out to take over the world. Buchanan's latest writings. Years ago I was warned about Pat Buchanan. I always defended Buchanan. I said, look, I don't agree with him on certain things, but he's not what you say. Guess what? He is what they said. I think the guy is exactly what they said he was. He has now become an overt apologist for Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich. In more words than one, he's doing it politely. He's a very clever man. And I had Pat on the show for many years. He'll never be on the show again. He gets crazier by the column. It's as though the real man is coming out. It's the portrait of Dorian Buchanan. The real inner man is coming out. And he's basically saying that Hitler really didn't want to take over Europe. Hitler didn't want to invade Czechoslovakia. Hitler didn't want to invade Poland. Hitler didn't want to take over Britain. Hitler never threatened America. He doesn't know history. He's reinventing history. In other words, he's doing the very things he accused the left of doing, which is being a historical revisionist. He's revising history. On top of it all, he's urinating on the graves of the Americans buried at Normandy and the Americans buried around the world who fought in World War II to stop Hitler. In essence, Pat Buchanan is urinating on their graves and on their memory, saying that they were not the greatest generation, that they shouldn't have fought the war. Read his columns. It's astounding to me. So when I say to you today on the Savage Nation that Bush's pacifism is making the world safe for theocracy, and I say that the only solution is a military solution because we've tried diplomacy for 5 years now. 5 straight years. And the only thing these radical Islamists know to do during diplomacy is to rearm and make themselves stronger. The Jews are going through the same thing in Israel. They have a peace with Hamas. And Hamas is getting more weapons from Iran and Russia and probably from our dear friends in China as well. Our glowing friends in Beijing are probably supplying them with the missile technology. They're rearming. And what's Israel doing? Tell me what they're doing. Nightclubs, beaches, drinking a beer, having a schmaltz herring. What are they doing in Israel? Are they crazy? When Israel gave back Gaza, I was the one saying on this radio show, no, 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 no. They're going to use it against you. And I had you, the listener, call me and say, you're wrong, Michael. You said to me, oh, no, the Palestinians will happily take the $7 or $8 million that American Jewish liberals sent for them to take over the greenhouses the Jews gave the Palestinians to grow orchids and roses and tomatoes and export them to Brussels. I said, are you people crazy? That's never going to happen. The next day, the greenhouses that the Jews were forced to abandon by Jewish police who beat up settlers who had been there for 30 some odd years and made them disinter their relatives who were buried in the sands of Gaza, made them rip out the Jewish cemeteries and transport the dead fathers and the dead grandfathers, Jew against Jew, to show you the madness of an autoimmune disease when it hits the political system. This is an autoimmune disease that the West is going through. It's an AIDS of the mind. It's an AIDS of the soul. It's an AIDS of the psyche. You're witnessing an AIDS epidemic inside the psyche of the West. And as you know, when the HIV virus invades an organism, opportunistic infections arise. The opportunistic infection that we are witnessing that is arising as we are imploding through this autoimmune disease, the opportunistic infection that is taking over is radical Islam. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Care about whether or not Iran attacks Israel. If Iran does attack Israel, what should the United States do? Is the question. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website where you can read my brilliant editorial, Making the World Safe for Theocracy, which will be stolen. Probably has already been ripped off. But as Lao Tzu said, it doesn't matter who takes your ideas as long as your ideas are talked about. Well, that was then, this is now. There was no... there were no lawyers in Lao Tzu's time. 1-800, I said already the number. Let us go to the callers. In New York City, John, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, look, I agree with what you're saying, and I can feel your frustration because you definitely have an ability for prophecy. But I didn't take the clip you of Gergen as anti-Semitic. I just took it as him stating the Jewish state of mind, which is true.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't actually say it was anti-Semitic. I said it was on the order of the very same mentality that said it was the Jews who dragged America into World War II.
See, I didn't see it that way. I mean, I understand I'm against that theology that the Jews dragged America into World War II. But, I mean, it's going to take Israel really getting it. No, you know, actually, I really think it's going to take America getting attacked before we stop Iran. I think we'll sit by and let Israel mm-hmm. get attacked. But once we get attacked again, then it's going to have to stop.
All right, John. Now, I'm going to raise something that no one has raised in the media. We've had a bunch of forest fires in California, 1,000 of them over the last few weeks. Michael Savage suspects that they're agents of Iran who have set these forest fires to a certain extent, certainly not all of them. And why do I say that, and where do I have the audacity to come up with a statement like that? Because a week ago, one of the Iranian psychos said publicly that we'll burn America down if you attack Iran. We have agents in place. Now, why should I assume that in a wide open country like this, that Iranian agents are not setting forest fires? Why should I make the assumption they're not? In fact, I would assume they are. Now, the reason they can get away with it is because they found five agents with headdresses, with butane torches in a forest fire, in a forest. The Smokies that are running around with 45s on their hips, the mean-faced, clipped-haired, fat-hipped women, would consult a 75-page manual and have to call Denver and get an answer in 7 weeks about what to do before the forest fire could even be stopped. They don't know what to do. They have to consult a manual. Why? Because the manuals are written by a bureaucrat. The bureaucrats write the manuals to make sure nobody is offended. They got to make certain that not that the forest doesn't burn, but that racial profiling does not occur. Now, you wouldn't want to make a Middle Easterner uncomfortable, even if you found them with a blowtorch in the middle of a tinderbox forest, would you? You'd rather see the liberal mindset would say, I'd rather see 1,000 forests burn than one Middle Easterner arrested by mistake. That's the liberal mindset. They've said this for years. They've said this for 50 years, the liberals on the Supreme Court, the liberals on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Their mindset in the ACLU is, I would rather see 99 guilty men go free than one innocent man arrested. So that's why I say they'd rather see 1,000 forests burn than one Middle Easterner stopped because of racial profiling. And that's why America is on its knees. That's why the enemy is so emboldened. And that's the problem as I see it. Do I have a solution? Oh, yeah, I have many solutions. But luckily, I am only a talk show host without any power. I have a large audience that's invisible, unspoken of. I am the unspoken talk show host. I am the unspoken talk show host with the unspoken audience that will determine the outcome of the next election. John McCain may pretend you don't exist, but you exist. You are the independents that will determine whether or not John McCain wins. Not so much because you'll either vote for him or you won't. It's because you will either vote for him or you won't vote at all. It's not that you're going to go vote for Obama. We know what the Obama nation will bring America. All you got to do is look at his past, his present, and his friendships. And you know that the Obama nation, for what it is. It's not that he personally is a bad man. I'm sure he's a decent man. It's his politics are an abomination, and his friends are an abomination, and his advisors are an abomination, and his policies would be an abomination. That's what it's all about. Now make a bumper sticker out of that. No to abomination. Go print it now, everyone in the bumper sticker business. You know, the ideas fly like sparks. Now, I was off since last Friday. Today is my first day back. I'm a little tired right now because I was bitten by a bunch of bees the other day on top of it all. And half of my body is kind of swollen, and I really should be treating it better than I have been. I don't think it's going to be, you know, just bee bites, that's all. And I'm real sensitive to insect bites, but I'm starting to feel the exhaustion right now, and you'll have to bear with it. So if I slow down between now and the end of the hour, you'll know why. And I think I've said all I want to say with regard to making the world safe for theocracy. Who is causing this? What the conundrum is that we are finding ourselves in, and what must be done. I will now turn it over to you at 1-800-449-8255. And I'll be back to take your calls right here on this and other topics, right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Savage Nation, and most of America is concerned instead about what suntan lotion to wear. You'll read the local newspaper here in San Francisco. They're concerned about what restaurant to go to and what suntan lotion to wear. They don't know what world they're living in. They have no idea how dangerous the world is. You could see the way they drive on the roads, cutting you off from the right lane and giving you a finger in their Prius. They have no idea who's in the next car. They don't know what they may encounter from giving a man a finger from the right lane in their Prius with numerous bumper stickers on their trunk. Maybe the man just heard that his wife has cancer. Maybe the man learned he just lost his job. Maybe one day they'll pick on the wrong man at the wrong time and wind up shot dead, God forbid, on the side of the road. But they don't think that could happen to them. And it's the same thing with Iran. They have no idea what danger we're in. That's why they drive around and they figure by blowing a whistle at the right time, the brigade will come to save them. That's the mentality of America today. Unfortunately, and I live in the heart of liberalism, so I see it for what it is. I see the suspended animation. I see the insanity. It is a mental disorder. There's no explanation for it. They know I'm right. They know they swallow Prozac. I don't. I do not take Prozac. They're on medication, most of them, either legal or illegal drugs. Either they blow pot or they take Prozac. They're constant 24/7 titrating themselves with a drug because they know deep down within themselves that they're lost. And guess what? I'm found. I was found a long time ago. That's how I can do this every day for 3 hours. Don't think this just comes out of hot air. You don't come up with a phrase making the world safe for theocracy and expose and do an exposition on it for 3 straight hours and field calls if you're lost, my friend. You do it if you're found. And I'm glad you found the Savage Nation. Portland, Oregon. Michael, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mr. Savage, I think part of the problem with the liberals is they seem to want to mistakenly superimpose our concepts of freedom of religion upon the Islamic extremists. Their mistake, of course, is the fact that anytime you have a philosophy that violates the liberties of other people or the sovereignty of a nation, you no longer have a philosophy of religion, but a philosophy of
politics. Michael, you're 100% right, but what they'll say to you is, well, what about Timothy McVeigh? What about Pat Robertson? What about the Christians? They're mentally deranged. Everything to them is morally equivalent.
Well, I mean, I think there's a difference between, violating the rights of another person or of a country, or the sovereignty of a country. I mean, that's got to be a
Of course there's a difference, but you're a rational man who can do an evaluation. Most of them don't. They say all religions are dangerous. All religions are bad. We've got to wipe out all religions. We've got to turn it into an a-religious world, and we'll have Marxism. They don't understand that the religion of Marxism caused the deaths of 100 million people in the last century.
You don't
understand any of that. You see, I mean, just study history, and you'll know that you're right. Of course you're right. There's a difference. But the minute you say one word to them about radical Islam, they say, oh, no, this is a right-wing fantasy. Iran means us no harm. Well, go to michaelsavage.com and take a look at the picture that we have just found of Ahmadinejad at one of his conferences. It says, imagine a world without Zionism. And in the background is a picture of a globe with an America smashed. America is smashed on the ground. He's using the Jewish state as a scapegoat for his hatred of the West, because all of radical Islam hates you. Oh, you may think they're your friends right now because they're smarter than you are. You have no brains. They do. They're much smarter than you. Never underestimate the Bedouin. That's all I can warn you. Never underestimate the Bedouin. They're 10 times smarter than you, you liberal moron, you. They're going to use you until they gain the foothold and the power that they need in this country, and then they will abuse you. I can guarantee it. They're 10 times smarter than you are. Kansas City, Mike, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, the biggest symptom, and I don't hear this talked about anywhere in the media, the biggest symptom of our loss of national will is the fact that we do not have a mutually assured destruction policy with the Muslim world like we did with the communist world. It should probably be called a Muslim assured destruction policy. I mean, think about it. Every U.S. president elected from Truman on has had to be willing to push the button and kill every man, woman, and child in Russia, if not most of the globe, to preserve our freedoms.
Yes, I agree with you. And all I've heard for the last 10 years is, well, there's really no nation behind it. They're a loose coalition of angry young men, religious angry young men. They're complete liars. There is an axis of evil. Shall I name it for you, or would you like to name it for me?
Right.
If you were to create a list of nations that disappear the day a bomb goes off in America, name the cities. Tell me the cities where the monster lives. Tell me the cities where the beast resides. Name the cities where the beast is alive. Name the cities where the beast walks the earth. I can name them for you.
Yes, exactly. And if...
What are these people in Washington, that idiotic?
And if you ask, any American, how many of the people in Russia were fanatical communists? A much lower percentage than our fanatical Islamists in the Muslim world, much lower percentage. Yet we were able to kill, we were willing to kill all of them rather than cede an inch of territory or rather than be hit by those people with nuclear weapons. Think about that.
Mm. You know, it's pretty well put, Mike. You're very clear on this. Are you a writer by any chance?
Yes, I am.
I figured so, because your analogy is pretty original. To me, anyway, I don't know if I've seen this anywhere, but it's very, very unique. Why don't you name the cities where the beast is alive that should be threatened, that they will be snuffed off the planet if a suitcase nuke goes off in a city in America? Name them.
Yeah. Oh, we know it. And if the communists had thought that Truman or any of those people who were presidents would accept the idea of surrogacy, they would have handed off a nuclear bomb to another state and called it terrorism in that day. But we have made the mistake of accepting the idea of surrogacy. It is the biggest lie that has been foisted on
us. Well, explain to the audience what you mean by surrogacy. You mean, of course, the big deception that these threats against our existence are conducted by a loose coalition of individuals as opposed to being as opposed to the shots being called by nations.
Exactly. And I guarantee you Harry Truman would have held every nation responsible, from Iran to Saudi Arabia to Syria to Iraq, if anything happened on American soil, because they are funding it. These are surrogate military forces of foreign regimes that are operating here. That's exactly what's happening, and we have allowed ourselves to be duped.
Mm-hmm. Well, we pretty much, as American people, know that it's Iran, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, and Syria. We pretty much can add a few more to the list pretty quickly. At least certain regions in these countries, for sure, are the nexus of terrorism. And the only way to cure it is not with Alexis.
Absolutely. And even though there's a book on third world development called The Lexus and the Olive Tree, it's really not true. And
I'm glad you hit the ball back over the net.
And I can say this.
Well, no, the liberals would argue that if only each radical Islamist was given a Lexus, they would no longer want to set off a limited nuclear device in New York City.
Absolutely absurd. They don't understand asceticism. They don't understand fanaticism and that whole mentality. And really, I think... what they need to do is they need to actually travel over to one of these countries and just do what they do here and see what happens to them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's
take
really...
a look at how you can pretty much judge a nation by how women are treated by, in that nation and how dogs are treated. Now, I'm not equating women with dogs. I have respect for women and dogs, and they're not equal. I'm not trying to be cute here. I'm trying to make another point. You can pretty much judge a nation by how they treat women and dogs. Am I right about that?
You're absolutely correct. And
it's an amazing thing that, of what I just said. We know the woman part of it. But this hatred for dogs that's being injected into this nation by, for example, throwback Muslims primarily from Africa. What's the nation they're coming from? Somalia. The cab drivers, for example, in Milwaukee, who refuse to pick up even blind people with seeing eye dogs because their retrograde view of their own religion says you cannot have a dog in a taxi. Now, how can they impose their theocracy upon a democracy? How can they be allowed to get away with that? If I were the mayor of Milwaukee, I would have said, listen, Johnson, I don't care how many turbans you have in your house. I don't care how many turbans you have on your head. You're here. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. You don't want to pick up blind people with dogs. You're going to lose your taxi license. And I don't care about anything more. Get out of here. I would have thrown them out of City Hall. Why don't we hear that talk anymore? You would have heard that in this country 50 years ago from any mayor of any city. No mayor would have let these retrogrades run them ragged like this.
Absolutely, and it only makes sense that a terrorist would hate man's best friend.
That's you keep topping me. I like it, Mike.
You know what?
What kind of material do you write?
I share this with you for so long, Michael. I mean, think about it. We would have lived better under communism than Islamic fundamentalism if we had been taken over by either one and compared it. Yet we were willing to kill every man, woman, and child in Russia. We didn't say in the days of Truman and Kennedy, oh, well, it's really a fanatical part of the Soviet Union, and it's not even really the party, it's the KGB, and it's not really the KGB, it's some people working in some of the republics of the Soviet Union that are doing this.
Yes, I hear what you're saying. You said it was collective responsibility of the nation. So if we have a nation state like Iran, unfortunately, they're all guilty.
And if they knew first with
yes, but if we had the same weak view of the world that we have now in World War II, would we have bombed the cities of Germany? Would we have bombed Japan? Would we have bombed Hiroshima and burnt babies and women alive? Never. We would have been worrying about that. It was a terrible thing to happen. But you and I both know that the reason Nagasaki was targeted was because the Japanese very cleverly built factories throughout populated areas, specifically to deter American bombing, the same way the Muslims are operating and have operated for over 50 years. They always do the weapons assembly in the midst of a populated area surrounded by women and children. They've done it to the Israelis, and they're doing it to our own troops. Go back to Colonel Chassani. What do you think he's on trial for? The very same thing. And, of course, Representative Jack Murtha took the side of the enemy. But that's a separate story. It's exactly the same thing here, from a little scale to a big scale.
That Ahmadinejad would be in power today if the Iranian military knew with absolute certainty that every man, woman, and child in their country would be dead if the United States was hit by a nuclear weapon? Do you think that they would even tolerate that?
Well, I don't know why they've tolerated this much. They certainly know they're a weak nation. They're full of rhetoric, but they also know they have no capacity to fight this country whatsoever. It's all hot air.
So their actions, and we have to bring those consequences back home to the powers.
I don't mind the hot air, Mike, but I have seen that the despot called Hitler in the 1930s was exactly the same. He was told he could not rebuild the German military, and he did it anyway. Now the Hitler of Iran is launching missiles, flaunting the world. And what are we doing, the corrupt weaklings that run the West? We're doing basically nothing. We're saber-rattling. We're floating our ships around in the Strait of Hormuz, the Fifth Fleet. We're taking our brave young pilots and telling them to train day in and day out, taking off and landing on the carriers. But they're not actually firing a 20-millimeter round.
I mean, what if the Islamic world knew that we had cruise missiles armed with neutron bombs to hit every population center in the Islamic world that was Islamic fundamentalist? And they knew that with utter certainty, that it would be fired if we got hit or any of our allies. Do you think that they would even consider moving forward with this kind of policy?
No, I don't think they would consider it at all. But they know that we're weak, and they know that they have friends in the Democrat Party and in the far left in this country who was anti-war. It's a repeat of history all over again. It's a repeat of not only Britain's history in the 30s, but America's history in the 30s. And I want to remind my audience that they may not be even aware that there was a very strong anti-war movement in America in the 30s that is mimicked now by the anti-war movement that we're hearing today. They may not be aware of it, but you probably know this, Mike. Do you know that America sank capital ships during the 1930s to comply with world anti-disarmament treaties? We were sinking ships in our own harbors and scrapping them?
Yes, and as a matter of fact, Charles Lindbergh was one of the big spokesmen for the anti-war movement. And a hero like Charles Lindbergh for the anti-war movement in the 30s.
He was sympathetic to the German government under Hitler. We know that. to his eternal shame.
Absolutely. And so what we're seeing right now is that all of our nation's will is being squandered on things that amount to rank commercialism. That's basically it, the delusion.
I understand, but Mike, all this changes in 1 second. This all changes in 1 second. The country gets marshaled immediately. I want to conclude this wonderful dialogue we've had with a memory of Ronald Reagan's great moment, one of his great moments. Do you remember when he fired missiles into Gaddafi's tent? What happened in this country and Gaddafi? You never heard from Gaddafi again. Remember, Gaddafi was threatening this country day and night, and Reagan launched jets, F-15s, off the carriers. I think it was the I forget the name of the carrier, but it was in the Sea of Tripoli. And they launched missiles right into Gaddafi's house and killed his wife and child. And you never heard Gaddafi threaten the West again. Is that correct?
That's correct. And, Michael, there's a woman in Minnesota, Jackie Flug, who was shot and thrown on the tarmac. I think you may remember that. When she visited the White House with Reagan, this is a story that's not known by anybody widely, Reagan put his arm around her and said, "Jackie, when I was launching the missiles against Gaddafi, I was thinking of you."
My God. My God, if we've fallen as a nation, from the actor to the MBA. Mike, thanks for listening to the show and adding so much intelligence and feeling to this dialogue. I really hope you continue to call the show on a regular basis. I wish I didn't have to say goodbye to Mike. I will be back in a moment here on the Savage Nation to take your calls. Please be here.
Savage.
Next month, the Olympics begin in China. As you well know, we all know China is laying low. We've seen this as a, let's put it to you this way, for 10 years, those of us who've been watching China at work, and never forget China is a communist nation. It's sort of a blend of capitalism and communism. It's very interesting, but it's still run by hardline communists, China, and they're very, very intelligent to have freed up the nation to build and to advance and to bring in foreign capital. But many people suspect that after the Olympics are over and after all this flood of billions of dollars and euros floods into China, that the nation itself will change for the worse. And we don't know whether that's going to happen. Instead, we're focusing today on theocratic Iran and its desires to annihilate first Israel and then the United States. And they're on record having said that. So make no mistake about it. Don't assume that they're peaceful and they're only protecting themselves. That's utter nonsense. This guy is not Iran. This guy has hijacked Iran. The mullahs have hijacked Iran. Their very small group of theocratic madmen have taken a great, proud, historic nation and have held it hostage. Lance in San Francisco, go ahead. You're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
I yield my time to Mike, an excellent caller. But Islam, as a plague of locusts out of the one area, the Arabian Peninsula, it's a foreign religion and a foreign cultural concept to all these places that it's currently most active, most virulent. It's almost like it was slipped in like some sort of genetic engineered sort of thing into these other cultures. Why don't they shake it off somehow? Why don't they look back and see what they were before this infection got hold of them?
Well, that's a big topic, and of course, it's too broad for me to even respond to. But I will raise an issue that I've raised before because there's a truism here that is undeniable. Look at all of the inventions and advances in the world that have occurred over the last 100 years, or last 150, 125 years. Virtually all of the advances occurred in the Christian world, and virtually no advances were made in the Muslim world. Now, why is that? Why were there no advances in the Muslim world, and why were there so many advances in the Christian world? Well, the answer is because modern Christianity is a liberating religion, while unevolved Islam is a religion that contains the individual, controls the individual, suppresses the individual, and prohibits the individual from thinking and from developing and growing. And it only makes people seethe inside with anger, hatred, and resentment. And you have to look at the reality of what I just said. Virtually every major advancement in human civilization over the last 125 years were made in the Christian world, the modern Christian world, because modern Christianity is a liberating religion, a liberating theology, as opposed to a compressing theology, which is radical Islam.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Senator Obama and President Ahmadinejad reached their first major agreement. The Iranians would love to sit down with a President Obama because negotiation buys them time. They've used time for the past 5 years of European negotiations to grow closer to a nuclear capability. And a few more months or years of negotiation with the Obama administration will simply clinch them as a nuclear power.
Well, that's John Bolton, former UN ambassador, a very smart man. And today, Michael Savage wrote Making the World Safe for Theocracy, which I invite you to read this evening on michaelsavage.com. I don't want to read it for you again, but I want to remind you that theocratic Iran continues to challenge the West. Remember, missiles that were designed to do in 6 minutes what Hitler did in 6 years to 6 million Jews were test-fired by this radical Islamic theocracy just yesterday. The Hitler of Iran is on record having threatened to kill every Jew in Israel, even if it costs Iran 50% of its population. Iran in the past several years has imprisoned British sailors. They've sent a fleet of rubber boats against gigantic U.S. warships. And what has happened? Nothing. Where has there been a strong statement from our president? There hasn't been. Where has there been a bold warning against this enemy who has threatened us and our allies again and again? There haven't been. Nowhere. Silence and weak words are all that have come out of the White House in the West. And I will ask you again, why is it that Bush won't act to save Western democracies from this madman? What is he waiting for? We've tried the diplomacy. Well, one, he doesn't want to rock the boat because of his ties to the Seven Sister Oil Companies. And two, because he is currently writing his legacy. President Bush wants liberal journalists and historians to write books about what a great statesman and peacemaker he really was. And so I believe to fuel his own vanity, he lets the cancer of Iran metastasize and spread its poison throughout the world. If Bush were to unleash the U.S. military on this petty dictator and seize control of the Iranian oil fields, we could regain control of the Middle East, greatly reduce oil prices, and save Israel from a holocaust. Instead, Bush has decided to make the world safe for theocracy. And that's something everyone but the far-left Democrats understand we have to fight. Michael Savage, July 10th, 2008. Michael Savage, Straight Talk, Unfiltered Radio Business Report, came out yesterday. I invite you to read it. I don't want to read the article written about me, but it's a good one, so I put it up on my website. It's also a nice picture of me in a Gucci hat. Although it's off-center, it's a good picture of me. And my face is a little red. I think it was too much sun at one of my barbecues. I'm not quite sure, but the face is definitely red. And it says, Talk Radio Network's Michael Savage is no stranger to controversy and headlines. However, his show and audience just keeps on growing. Why? Because he says what's in his heart, right or wrong, in the eyes of his listeners. He's beholden to nothing and no one. And he's definitely not afraid of a fight. Enough so that he will put his own money where his mouth is. Savage is great, compelling radio. And his show is indicative of the power of radio, they wrote. Yes, Savage is an entertainer. He can be hilarious without even trying, he wrote. But he's also an author and a bit of an activist as well, in things he really believes in. Of course, his audience backs him up, he wrote. Savage earned his doctorate from the University of California at Berkeley and is the author of 4 best-selling books, a radio record. That's right, not even The Golfer has had 4 bestsellers in a row. Liberal San Franciscans lock ears to their radios when Savage is live because they love his educated opinions and machine gun wit, they wrote. We caught up with Michael recently and Askver's taken a lot of things, including what makes his show so successful, and I'll let you read the rest on michaelsavage.com. It's a very good interview, and I approved of it. That's why it's on the website. It's very rare that they notice I exist, but even once in a while, the radio industry even has to take note of their radio stars. Now, although people in radio love ratings, they are terrified of controversy. Unfortunately, in talk radio, you can't have one without the other. It's like love and marriage. If you want controversy, if you don't want controversy, get out of the talk radio business. If you want talk radio, get ready for controversy. But that means you have to have a belief system. That means that you have to stand for something. That means that even if you disagree with the host, you believe in the First Amendment. And you understand that the First Amendment was written not to protect polite speech of the kind you hear on the chat shows on television, but to protect vigorously offensive speech of the type you may hear at a political rally. That's what a democracy is built upon, which is the right to free speech. Don't you understand it's not meant to protect polite speech? Now, liberals on drugs will say that we believe in free speech, but we don't believe in hate speech. And of course, they will define what hate speech is. When they break off the crosses of war memorials, when they kill the unborn into the ninth month, that is not considered hate, nor hate speech. That's considered compassionate liberalism. But if you stand up and say, I love America, and I believe in borders, language, and culture, and I believe in defending our borders, and defending our language, English, and defending our culture, I guess to people on Prozac, that is considered hate speech. And that's why the Savage Nation exists. Right now, I'm going to take a quick break, and then when I come back, there's a phenomenal interview for you. Be here. Savage. The Hitler of Iran, Ahmadinejad, has openly threatened to wipe Israel off the globe and refuses to stop the attempts of his maniac mullahs to gain nuclear weapons. Recent press reports reveal Israeli military has been conducting secret exercises in preparation for possible airstrikes against Iran's nuclear facilities. Columnist Jeffrey Kuhn has been watching this unfold and joins us today to talk about it. Jeffrey, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks for having me on the program again.
So what is going on now between Israel and Iran?
Michael, my sources, both within the Israeli government and within the American government, have been telling me that Israel is very concerned about the nuclear threat posed by Iran. They are convinced that there is now a gathering storm brewing in the Middle East. The winds of war are now raging, and they believe that a military confrontation is now all but inevitable.
What are the Israelis doing about this?
What the Israelis have been doing is they have been conducting military exercises throughout the summer, in particular air exercises, to launch a devastating air campaign against Iran's nuclear facilities. What the Israelis are now convinced of is that they have about a 9-month to 1-year window before Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad gets a nuclear bomb. And they know through their sources in Iran, not just through Ahmadinejad's public statements, but through their sources in Iran, that they are planning to hit Israel with a nuclear strike. This is a man who is a revolutionary Shiite Islamic extremist. He believes that his destiny, his divinely ordained destiny, has been to be put on this earth by Allah to launch a nuclear war against Israel to help inaugurate what he believes is the apocalypse or the return of the Mahdi or the 12th Imam, which in Shiite theology is sort of the kind of return of the Messiah that will then sort of launch and inaugurate a global Muslim caliphate, a global Muslim empire with Tehran at its center. And so for these radical mullahs in Tehran, a showdown with Israel, for them, is the beginning, the precursor to the launch of a global Muslim empire in which Tehran will be directing it and masterminding it.
But surely, like Obama says, there must be some diplomatic solution that can be worked out here, right?
We are dealing with revolutionary Islamic fascists. These are people, Michael, that literally are irrational. And the argument that's being made by some in the State Department, which is, well, try more diplomacy, try more carrots and stick diplomacy, economic incentives, diplomatic incentives, threaten them potentially with sanctions, is not going to work with Iran. The Israelis know it for one simple reason. These are not rational people with limited, realistic aims in the Middle East. This is not a traditional power that just somehow wants to be a player in Middle East politics. This is a revolutionary power backed by religious fanatics who believe it is their divine destiny to destroy the Jews, to spread Islam and Sharia law across Europe, across the world, and ultimately, as Ahmadinejad has said himself, to create, quote-unquote, a world without America.
Well, I don't believe this. How could this be going on?
Michael, I am absolutely convinced, and this is the point of my article in the Washington Times, we are now reliving 1938. We are now reliving a new Nazi wave that is about to sweep across the Middle East and eventually the world. The difference being is it is not a German or National Socialist movement, but it is a fascist movement with a Persian radical Islamic face. But it is the same threat. It is totalitarian in nature. It wants to destroy the Jews. It wants to create a radical state, basically a sort of global empire based on not racial supremacy, but religious supremacy. And it will not stop until its ultimate objectives are achieved.
What signs do you see that lead you to believe that this totalitarian wave is coming?
Look at what's happening in Iran, Michael. It is very disturbing. You have state-sanctioned anti-Semitic propaganda. Homosexuals are being executed by the day. Women are completely and utterly enslaved. They have no rights whatsoever. Sharia law has been imposed on every aspect of society. Students are being imprisoned. Labor unions are being smashed. You have political opposition parties that are being thrown in jail. Literally, what Israel is witnessing is the rebirth of a Nazi movement right in front of their eyes. And Ahmadinejad has vowed to the world, the way Hitler vowed to the world, that he will wipe the Jews off the face of the earth. And so, Michael, what you are now seeing is a confrontation brewing in the Middle East.
Well, what is the difference between what happened in 1938 and now?
The difference between today and 1938 is one fundamental difference, and that is this time the Jews are not going to go quietly into the gas ovens. They know what awaits them. They know what is coming. They know the danger and the existential threat that is posed by Iran having the nuclear bomb. They are not going to wait for Ahmadinejad to launch nuclear attacks on Tel Aviv and Jerusalem and cities across Israel, which will lead to millions of people being slaughtered and dead. And this is why, Michael, I am convinced, and John Bolton agrees with me on this, and many other people within the Bush administration, the Israelis will have no choice. If the Iranians do not back down, and it looks like they will not back down, by the end of this year, after this election, after the November election, sometime in, I believe, in December or January, Israel will have no choice but to launch a devastating air campaign to try to cripple Iran's nuclear program, and at least, if they can't eliminate it, at least forestall it and push it back 10 to 15 years.
Well, lately we've seen them compromise so much. Is this really an Israeli government that's in place right now that's going to take hard, effective action against theocratic Iran?
Michael, that's an absolutely excellent question. The problem in Israel right now is you have a government that literally is on the verge of having its own Watergate. Ehud Olmert, the prime minister of Israel, has come under a lot of criticism for corruption, for alleged corruption. There is an investigation that's taking place. He has been severely weakened politically. The government is essentially neutered. It is divided. It does not know what to do domestically. It's lost a lot of domestic support. The problem, however, is beyond Olmert. The Israeli political and military class is agreed on one fundamental point, left, center, or right. Iran cannot get the nuclear bomb, and they know that it is a ticking time bomb, that Ahmadinejad is slowly but relentlessly working towards that goal. And what the Iranians are doing, Michael, and this is what I find absolutely despicable and unforgivable, and it's exactly what Hitler did, if you remember, in 38 with Munich. Ahmadinejad is stringing the international community and even the United States into prolonged and protracted negotiations, because negotiations are in Tehran's favor. As long as they can drag this thing out, this buys them the most important thing they need, and that is a nuclear bomb. This gives them the time that they need to construct a nuclear weapon, and then once they have a nuclear weapon, they feel that the West and the United States in particular will be too afraid to attack Iran the way we're now afraid to do anything against North Korea. And so they now realize that the only threat that they really face is Israel. And ultimately, Michael, I am convinced that Israel is the last bulwark of Western civilization, that it will be in the Middle East that the survival, the future survival of the West will stand or fall. Because if Israel should go, if Iran can accomplish its dream of another Holocaust, of completing what Hitler started, then it will not end in the Middle East. They will then be emboldened and they will eventually come after us. And so this is why, Michael, I argue in my article, and I can't stress this point enough to your listeners. Israel has the moral justification, it has the strategic justification, it has the political justification to launch a devastating, crippling strike against Iran. And if we in the United States, if we are not willing to do this, if we are not willing to conduct a campaign of our own, then Israel has to take legitimate action on its own part to defend its mortal existence and ultimately the existence of the West.
If you don't see the U.S. acting in any significant way, and it's left up to Israel, what role will be left for us to play if Israel attacks? And will it be dependent on the outcome of the election in November in any way?
Michael, that's another very good question. It's very clear to me that the one fundamental difference between John McCain and Barack Obama is their position on the Middle East, and in particular, the position on what to do with Iran. Obama is in bed with the liberal State Department establishment, which believes that what you need is more diplomacy, more talk, and if you're going to do anything with Iran, impose a few more sanctions. McCain clearly realizes that Iran poses a threat not only to Israel, but to Europe and to the United States. McCain will, I believe, talking to some of his key strategic advisors, he will initiate a crippling, devastating airstrike against Iran. And so a McCain win in November could see not only Israel launch strikes, but the United States using their bases in Iraq and across the Middle East to launch an air campaign and to knock out Iran's nuclear facilities. So I think really on this issue, the issue of Islamic fascism and the threat posed by Iran, McCain, I think, is clearly the better man when it comes on this particular issue. And Michael, I think ultimately McCain is somebody who admires Winston Churchill, who understands the lessons of Munich, that if you appease these sort of fascist dictators, if you appease these sort of revolutionary ideological fanatics, that in the end you will get war. A war will come with these people no matter what. And it is better to hit them sooner when they are weaker than wait until later and you have literally millions of people dead, not only in the Middle East, but potentially maybe around the world.
Jeff Kuhner, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
It was great talking with you. Thanks so much. Take care.
Savage.
Making the world safe for theocracy is the topic for today's show. And, you know, I want to tell you something here. You know, most radio shows, and I've been in the business over 15 years, you have to shift topics. You have to, you know, move it around. And I've done that. But I believe today, having been on vacation since last Friday, there's no bigger topic. There's no topic that interests me more than this one. I get up and think about it. I go to sleep and think about it. I eat it and sleep it. I see it coming. I know it's coming, and this country is not ready for it. The military is ready for it. The leadership is not ready for it. The military is ready for it. I'm sure of that. The leadership is not ready for it because they're controlled by the bankers. They're controlled by the international money machines who never want controversy. They're the ones who collaborated with Hitler in World War II. They're the ones who built the truck plants for Hitler to build his tanks on. Make no mistake about it. This is not so different than the 1930s. Ford built truck plants for Hitler. Ford built the mechanized factories that built the Tiger tanks. Make no mistake about it. He didn't do it because he was a Nazi. No, he didn't do it because he did it because he was a businessman and they wanted a truck factory and they wanted a tank factory. And he had the know-how, so he built it for them. And that's exactly the problem we have today, which is the bottom line mentality of too many people in the corporate world. If you think only about the bottom line, eventually you will go broke. You have to have a mission in a corporation. You have to have beliefs in a corporation. You have to believe primarily not in Democrats or Republicans, but in the Republic itself. You have to believe in freedom of speech. You can't cave in to boycott lists and advertisers who are a little too finicky about various shows. Ultimately, you will destroy your own goose that lays the golden egg. Ultimately, you destroy your own company with that kind of mentality. The fact of the matter is we're facing Hitler all over again. And every American should understand this. It's not about Jews. It's about Americans. They are the canary in the mine shaft. They're the canary in the coal mine, whatever way you want to put it. Now, the left will say this is a war that's being ginned up by the Republicans because they're a party of war. The Democrats like to pose as the party of peace, the doves. I have heard this for the last 40 years. It has never been true. In fact, it was Democrats who dragged us into World War II. It was Democrats who dragged us into Korea. It was Democrats who dragged us into Vietnam. Make no mistake about it. Neither party is a party of doves. It's a matter of financial interests, primarily. But at the end of the day, it's not about financial interests, is it? It's about national survival. When you have a fanatical enemy, as we do, this is not an invention of the Bush administration. Any rational Democrat understands the danger we are in when you have radical Islamists willing to blow themselves up to impose their 9th century, their 7th century view of Islam upon the world. They're a threat not only to atheists, to Christians, to Jews, to Buddhists, to Muslims, but they're a threat to Muslims themselves. In that regard, that's 100% true. Look at Turkey. A bomb went off the other day in Turkey, which is a rather moderate nation. Turkey was the first nation, by the way, to grant women the right to vote. I don't know if many of you know that. It was not here in America that women had the right to vote first. It was in progressive Turkey in the early 1900s, even though it was ruled by a dictator by the name of Ataturk. He granted women the right to vote. But Turkey today, other than the fact that they have radical Islamists trying to take over Turkey, is not a fundamentalist nation. It's a moderate Muslim nation. Bombs went off in moderate Muslim circles planted by radical Islamists. So this virus that was unleashed by Ayatollah Khomeini, which was unleashed by Jimmy Carter, is a virus that has metastasized, and this AIDS-like virus of the political, social, and religious orders of the world will not be stopped until it's annihilated. You cannot live with it because it cannot live with you. Make no mistake about it. It's coming to a town near you, whether or not you put your head in the sand. Sacramento, Diane, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. I pressed the wrong button. Steve, Oakland, you're up.
Hi. I'm glad you mentioned that war and profit go together, and that Democrats and Republicans are both parties of war. And if you really want to create safety for the American people, which I'm sure you're for, Michael, you will support spending money on the infrastructure of the society. Right now, we have a choice.
Well, what do you mean? You mean night basketball?
Excuse me?
You mean night basketball? What do you mean by the infrastructure?
Our roads, our schools, our hospitals, our bridges.
Well, I want the roads fixed. But instead of fixing the roads, what they're doing is spending the money on housing and education and medication for illegal aliens. Where do you think the money's going? Why do you think the roads are broken? There's not enough taxes in California? You'd like to pay more tax? I pay 11% tax in the state of California. 11% off the top of my income goes to the state, and I have broken roads and highways. Why is that, Steve? Where's the money going?
The money is going for bureaucracy and war. Like you said, the Democrats and Republicans are all about profit.
I understand that. I understand that completely, that there's total corruption in the contracting end of the Iraq war. You and I wouldn't argue about that. But you're not going to sit in denial and say that Ahmadinejad has not threatened the West and Israel, are you?
Of course he did. But the mullahs are the ones in control. He's not. He's not liked by the Iranian people. The Iranian people love Americans.
We said the same thing, but they've been hijacked by Ahmadinejad and the mullahs. So what do you do with a man like him? You let him develop a nuclear weapon, Steve?
Excuse me?
You let him develop a nuclear weapon?
The NIE reports in December, if you believe the NIE reports, which, you know, I suppose you probably do.
No, I don't. That NIE report came out of the blue. Because 2 weeks before, we were told that Iran was very close to a nuclear weapon. Then all of a sudden, out of the blue, comes this NIE report, which says Iran is several years away from a nuclear weapon. Well, what do you make about the Iranian missile test yesterday, Steve? Weren't they worrisome even to you? You know, one missile, even with a non-nuclear warhead can ruin your entire neighborhood?
Which country has nuclear weapons, Michael, in the Middle East? Which country?
Israel.
Right.
Thank God it does, or it wouldn't exist.
They've had them since
Would you like Israel to destroy its nuclear weapons, Steve? Is that the solution?
Look, I'm a Jewish American.
Of course you are. Of course you are, Steve. And you're a lovey-dovey Jewish American who wants peace and doves everywhere. And you think that if only nasty Zionism went away, the world would be safe for you. Don't you think that, Steve?
Do you think Israel would...
You think that Israel's the reason that the Muslims have killed the Hindus in Bombay? Or Mumbai, if you want to call it that. Is that why they blew up a train station in Bombay 2 years ago? It's because of Israel? Is that why the Muslims did it? Do you think that's why they're killing Indians over Kashmir, over Israel, Steve? Are you that far gone?
Let me ask you this question.
No, no, don't ask me any questions. Don't play Talmudic rabbi with me, Buster. Let me ask you a question. Answer my question. Is that why the Muslims set off bombs in Mumbai? Was it because of Zionism?
I have no idea.
Oh, suddenly you're a dummy. You knew everything 2 minutes ago. Suddenly you have no idea. What do you mean you have no idea? You're an intelligent man. You knew everything about the war machine. Why would the Muslims have set off bombs in India? What reason?
I've been to India.
Don't tell me about you've been in India. I don't care how many saris you wore. Why did the Muslims set off bombs in Bombay 2 years ago? Why are they killing Indians over Kashmir? Why are the Muslims on the warpath in the southern Philippines? Do you have any answers to these questions, Steve? You must have an answer.
They're having internal problems of their own, like we're having them right now here in the United States.
Well, you know, you really are far gone, Steve. I don't believe it's a mental illness with you. I believe it's stupidity, plain and simple stupidity. Thanks for the call. And with a stupid man, I will not have a discussion. With an insane man, I will talk, because possibly with an insane man, I can bring him to a 9/11 center. New York City, George, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. But wait, no, before George says a word, let's think about this conversation. The man gets on the air and says that if Israel didn't have nuclear weapons, there'd be no threat. Then I bring up Muslims killing Indians, that is Hindus, in Bombay. I ask him why. He says he has no idea. Do you really believe he has no idea? Or he didn't want to answer the obvious question with an obvious answer? Why couldn't he answer that question? Why are Muslims killing Catholics in the Philippines? No idea. Why are Muslims killing Indians over Kashmir? No idea. No idea. He has no idea, but he knows everything about how bad America is. He knows everything about how bad Zionism is. That is a brainwashed liberal. Don't you understand this? Now go on, please, George.
Michael, a lot of people in this country are shocked and mystified by what's happening to America, and I think they should realize that we're being ruled by a political, academic, news media, and judicial oligarchy. And this oligarchy, from Bush on down, is anti-national and globalist, and they really don't care what the American people want. This oligarchy, they believe that nation-states are an anachronism. They believe that all borders should be abolished. They believe the American culture and our sovereignty should be abolished. And that's why we have a...
Yes, absolutely. In other words, what's good for Goldman Sachs is good for the world.
Exactly. I mean, that's why they keep the borders wide open. We have 20 million, at least 20 million illegal aliens there, dropping God knows how many Anka babies, probably millions of Anka babies. They want
America... Right, and 15 sheriff's deputies raided a pot farm here in California today, 15 to 20 with SWAT teams. And you have to read the whole article to find out why one of the so-called peaceful pot farmers was shot. He was a member of the Mexican mafia. You got to read the entire article to read Hispanic males in their 20s. They're hiding the whole thing. It's all part and parcel of this brainwashing.
Well, it's being done by design, Michael. It's not.
You mean it's not being done by the Zionists, George?
Design.
I know I'm joking with you. The last caller would say it's all the Zionists doing it.
Yeah,
so, George, let me ask you, you're a brilliant man who sees things exactly as they are. And George Bush was stopped today, by the way. Thank God the Senate stood up to him on the Mexican trucks. Once again, the committee blocked 6-3 the overrunning of America by Mexican trucks. I'm shocked to find out that the trucking industry actually has any control whatsoever over Congress. Do you think this would change with either candidate in November, come next January, this globalism?
Absolutely not. I mean, these two candidates were presented to us by the oligarchy, by the establishment, and I don't see where McCain will do anything differently. He will let the borders remain open.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, but there are certain areas, don't you think, such as Iran, that there's a fundamental difference between McCain and Obama?
I don't know if McCain has said anything about how he would handle Iran. Have you heard anything? I haven't heard anything.
Not really. I think he's very careful to say nothing. But, well, let's talk about Iran, George. You have this this picture of the globalists, and I agree with you 100%. Any intelligent person that I speak with who is educated sees this exactly the way you do. What's good for Goldman Sachs is good for the world. And there is no nationality. There is no religion. They want to eliminate all religions. Why is it then that Iran has been allowed to get this far? And what do you think the globalists will do about Iran?
Well, I think in conjunction with the globalism, there's been a complete collapse of courage and let's use the word manliness in the West. I think the West is in a historic collapse of courage now. I mean, Europe is completely useless. We keep talking about our allies in Europe. They're absolutely useless.
Yes, Europe has become eunuchized. There's no question about it. So I like to play with words. Europe is eunuchized.
Absolutely.
Europe is eunuchized. There's no question about it. What about making the world safe for theocracy? Don't you think this pacifism and internationalism is making the world safe for the Muslim fanatics?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, but the oligarchy have become pacifists, and they believe in diplomacy, going on for decades. Meanwhile, the world...
But are they that ignorant of their own history? Are these people who run these corporations that ignorant of the 1930s, or they not care? Don't they understand that their policies have effects upon things?
Well, we lack any leadership, Michael. There's no Winston Churchill or no FDR coming up the pike, and... our leaders are
yes, they are. There are pieces of both of them in talk radio and occasionally on the internet and occasionally in some newspapers. There are remnants of the greatness of the West, and they're starting to reemerge. I disagree with you to a certain extent, George. I'm not that pessimistic. I actually believe this country is going to be saved by a miracle, and I don't know what the miracle is because I believe God loves America, and I believe God hates radical Islam. And I believe God hates the devil, and I believe that radical Islam is a representation of the devil. And I will stand by those words. I did not say Islam. I said radical Islam is the voice of the devil. And I will stand by those words, and I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens and what happens in America after it happens. There's no question in my mind that either Israel alone or Israel with the U.S. and France, perhaps Israel, France, and Turkey will strike Iran. I don't think it's going to be a single nation. I think it's going to be a coalition against this madman in high heel shoes. And I believe the mullahs will go along with him. And I believe they'll be dancing in the streets of Iran. Will there be innocent Iranians killed? I hope not, but I think so. Will there be collateral damage in that regard? Yes. Will the world wring its hands over this? Yes, as they should. Nobody likes war. But I want to remind you, had Hitler been killed in 1939 when he invaded Czechoslovakia, 50 million people or more would not have died in World War II. He was a madman intent on conquering the world and turning the world into his vision of a third Reich under Hitler and Hitler's like-minded people. But he wasn't stopped. Instead, the West was the same as it is today, interested in baseball, hot dogs, golfing, and business. It is always the same. It's only a few men along the way who sound the alarm. Winston Churchill was one of them. He was roundly called a warmonger by the illegitimate left in his own nation. But it was had it not been for Winston Churchill, there wouldn't be an England today. Of course, after World War II was resolved to the satisfaction of the British, they castigated Churchill and they threw him out, and socialists wanted a free lunch. The people were tired and they wanted a free lunch, and they voted in the Labour Party, which England has never really gotten over. We are about, in my opinion, the same place as Europe was in 1939. I don't know the exact month or the exact year, nor does it matter. The analogy is so strong that it begs for release from the history books. The analogy is so powerful, it begs for release from the history books. A film documentarian could create a movie that shows what went on in 1939 and what's going on now in 2007, 2008, 2009. And they could show Hitler marching with the swastika. They could show Ahmadinejad marching with the platform shoes, screaming about the ascent of radical Islam and the death of the West. And they could show Hitler invading Czechoslovakia, and they could show the, and building up his military, building up the Navy, building up the German Navy against the Treaty of Versailles, building up an Air Force secretly against the Treaty of Versailles, saying, go to hell, you can't stop me. Exactly the way Ahmadinejad is doing. And because we have not learned from history, or shall I put it another way, because the power structure is more interested in the immediate bottom line than they are in the even short-term health of a nation, we are going to repeat history all over again. That's what I see. The businessmen who really are very, very bright should take time out from the bottom line and spend 5 minutes a day thinking about their nation for 5 minutes a week. What is good for the nation, not what's good for the bottom line? We could use their brilliance, but they don't do that. They're concerned only with the stock prices, which are not very good right now. So again, we're living in very dangerous times. The stock market's in free fall. Look at what happened today. Some companies went down 20% in one day. One day. Why are the markets roiling like this? Oh, my goodness. That's an entire show unto itself. Primarily because men like Phil Graham, who is one of John McCain's financial advisors, Phil Graham engineered the uncoupling of protections that were put in to prevent wanton speculation in the stock market and the banking industry way back in the 1990s. The very same Phil Graham, the nice, quiet Mr. Peepers Phil Graham, who pretends to be a financial advisor to John McCain, raised over $300 million in a lobbying campaign to overturn laws that have been in place since the 1930s to prevent the kind of wild, insane gambling that has been going on in the stock market and in the banking sectors of this economy. And because of that, the chickens have come home to roost. Because of deregulation pushed forward by the greedy, greedy, greedy bankers and the greedy, greedy, greedy speculators on the mercantile exchanges, on the other exchanges, because of deregulation, we are now seeing the wholesale destruction of so many corporations in this country. Companies that have been around for over 100 years have gone up in smoke. Not so much because of bad management, but because of manipulation by their competitors. You look at the Bear Stearns debacle, and you see that there were certain companies that not only survived it, but thrived on the carcass of Bear Stearns, one of which is an investment bank who has placed two Treasury secretaries into the White House. Think about it and get back to me. Today's show is called Making the World Safe for Theocracy. We'll talk about banking tomorrow.
Savage.